This is DW News live from Berlin. Israeli forces battle Hamas militants in southern Gaza's main city. There's been heavy shelling on Khan Yunis, and ground forces are engaged in what the Israeli military says is some of the most intense combat yet. Also on the program, military aid to Ukraine in danger of being derailed by U.S. domestic politics.
Frankly, I think it's stunning that we've gotten to this point in the first place. While Congress, Republicans in Congress, are willing to give Putin the greatest gift he could hope for.
Republicans in the U.S. Senate blocked President Biden's request for emergency aid. And pop star Taylor Swift caps a record-breaking year by being named Time Magazine's Person of the Year, becoming the first woman to receive the honor twice. Hello, I'm Tomi Oladipo. Welcome to the program. Israel says its troops have surrounded and reached the center of southern Gaza's largest city. Commanders in the assault on Khan Yunis say their troops are engaged in some of the most intense fighting so far. Israel says its aim is to eliminate Hamas, which is regarded as a terrorist group by multiple countries and the EU. Israel has told hundreds of thousands of Palestinian civilians to relocate to so-called safe zones. But the UN says nowhere in Gaza is safe.
Survivors sift through the rubble of a destroyed home, struck by Israeli missiles in the early hours of the morning.
There were 30 people inside the house, 20 of them were children. We don't know what happened to us. The fire hit and all of it collapsed on top of us. None of us made it out completely okay. Everyone is hurt.
The United Nations says almost 1.9 million Gazans have fled their homes since the war began. Many wound up here in Khan Yunis. Now Gaza's second largest city is a battleground. Israel says it's operating against Hamas strongholds in the south, and both sides report that the fighting is fierce, leaving civilians with nowhere to go.
All my senior colleagues have been very clear, including the Secretary General, saying there are no safe places in Gaza.
Speaking to DW News, the Israel Defense Forces explained why they fire on safe zones.
Now, if Hamas uses what has previously been defined as a safe zone in order to fight and to fire rockets or missiles at Israeli civilians or to conduct combat activities towards our troops from that area, then there may be a case where we will retaliate fire. But that is an extremely small percentage.
The main hospital in Khan Yunis is overwhelmed. The UN says delivering vital aid supplies is impossible amid the fighting. And still, the injured keep coming, as do the bodies. The devastation in Khan Yunis has left many Palestinians with a sense that the world has abandoned them.
We need someone to stand by our side. We need someone to find us a solution. We are devastated.
But despite a brief ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, the renewed fighting is as intense as ever.
Journalist Sami Sokol is in Jerusalem with more. Hi, Sami. Now, we have this claim from the Israeli military that they found what they say is the largest weapons depot, or one of the largest weapons depot in Gaza. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, this depot was found in the northern part of the Gaza Strip. It belonged to Hamas, to the armed wing, to Ghayz ad-Din al-Qassam. And what we see there is hundreds of rockets. Some are short range, some are long range, the ones that were targeted towards Tel Aviv. We also see lots of AK-47, known here as Kalashnikov. On top of that, we've seen drones in this depot. Definitely, we know that a lot of this has been produced locally inside the Gaza Strip, probably in underground, in tunnels. And the IDF was saying in the statement that this was found next to a civilian residential, a school, a clinic, etc. Some would say maybe to justify the kind of attacks that they've been waging also against civilian targets.
And meanwhile, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has described Gaza's humanitarian system as being at risk of total collapse. And he's calling for a ceasefire, reiterating his call. Clearly, Israel doesn't look like it's going to comply.
This evening, the cabinet had a meeting to discuss these issues, and they decided to let more fuel into the Gaza Strip. They said that they're approving the entrance of fuel in order to prevent the spread of diseases. But in terms of stopping the military campaign, it is not on the agenda for now. The chief of staff, the minister of defense, Netanyahu, Gantz, Benny Gantz, all of them have been repeatedly saying in the last few days that Israel is going to continue the very aggressive campaign and they're not going to stop it. Gallant, the Minister of Defense, was saying that this campaign is also necessary in order to bring Hamas to surrender and release the hostages.
Journalist Sami Sokol in Jerusalem there. Now, Republicans in the U.S. Senate have blocked an aid package for Ukraine and Israel. Ahead of the vote, President Joe Biden urged the opponents to put aside partisan differences. He warned that failing to approve the funds could enable Russia to regain momentum in the war on Ukraine.
Congress needs to pass supplemental funding for Ukraine before they break for the holiday recess. Simple as that. Frankly, I think it's stunning that we've gotten to this point in the first place. While Congress, Republicans in Congress, are willing to give Putin the greatest gift he could hope for and abandon our global leadership, not just Ukraine, but beyond that.
DW's Benjamin Alvarez Gruber has been following the developments in Washington, D.C.
So there were not enough votes in the Senate to pass this bill, the supplemental bill that President Biden was just mentioning. What is important here that is not just financial help for Ukraine, but also for Israel, also for border security, and also for Taiwan in the Indo-Pacific. And the problem here is that Republicans have repeatedly stressed that national security concerns need to start with the U.S.'s border security. They said that more needs to be done there. So it's a really big package, $106 billion. And a few days ago, the White House said and urged Congress to approve this package by saying, also by stating that the Department of Defense has used 97% of its funds for Ukraine and the State Department has used all the funds that it has. That's something that John Kirby, the spokesperson of the National Security Council, also said earlier today, saying that this will be a Christmas gift for Russian President Vladimir Putin if it does not get past Congress.
Now, Ben, help us understand, considering the narrative recently, considering the conversations around what's happening in Israel, between Israel and Hamas, isn't it surprising that Republicans would block an aid package that mentions Israel?
This is a clear case of showing how domestic policies have international implications for many of the U.S.'s allies. And that's also why President Biden mentioned that it's so important also to show the role that the U.S. wants to take here. He had a call with G7 leaders and said that it's the role that the U.S. wants to have, and also mentioning that allies could have questions, saying if the U.S. is not helping them, if not sending additional aid, why should we do that? And he urged them to do it. We have some reactions, some of them. One of them is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, where the Republicans have a majority. Mike Johnson said that Republicans in House and Senate remain united, and he said that we have been clear from the beginning that national security begins at our border. He accused Senate Democrats and also the White House of simply not acknowledging this fact. So we can expect that there will be a lot of discussions that will still need to pass, and the White House has been pressing, saying that the clock is ticking.
Let's take a look now at some other stories making news around the world. In the U.S., three people have been killed and one's in critical condition after a shooting at a university campus in Las Vegas. Police said a suspect was also found dead at the site. The Las Vegas sheriff said there was no further threat on the premises and multiple victims have been taken to hospital. Peru's ex-president Alberto Fujimori has left prison. It happened after the country's top court quashed his 25-year sentence for human rights violations. Supporters celebrated ahead of the release, but the ruling has caused dismay among victims of abuses committed during his rule in the 1990s. U.S. pop artist Taylor Swift has been named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. The American news magazine described her as a musical force of nature and praised her as both the writer and the hero of her own story. Ms. Swift is the first woman to be awarded the title twice. She also won in 2017.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. In 2023, this year, can you remember a month that went by without Taylor Swift grabbing the headlines?
No.
She has dominated the headlines every single month of this year. I mean, she's done everything. We're now looking at the fact that she's in a new relationship with an NFL player. She went on concert tour and she broke records there. She's breaking records at the box office with her film about her concert. She's out there doing it all. She's every woman and we all love her music. And the most important thing is she boosts the local economy everywhere she goes. Everyone is happy because people come out. You have mothers, you have fathers, you have people buying memorabilia, staying at the local hotels, renting cars. So she's just great for the economy. And she seems to bring families together. Mothers and fathers come out to see Taylor Swift perform along with their teenagers. So it's great.
But KJ, what is it exactly about her that makes her so popular, that makes her appeal so much?
She's a great songwriter. She knows how to tap into mainstream culture, pop culture. She knows exactly what teen angst and what teenagers want, especially teenage girls. They absolutely love her and love her music. She's just true. And the reality is she doesn't really have any scandal. I mean, outside of her dating life, people are always prying into that. She's really the good girl. She's all American.
Interesting. And does this influence go beyond pop culture?
Yes. You know, lots of people have asked Taylor Swift to do so many things. You know, governments want her to come. They want her to perform there just because they know that she'll infuse cash into their economy. She's great. They know she has a huge following. And so she's just, you know, she's basically able to turn everything down. She's turned a lot of stuff down, but she just really has taken over. It's not just the music. It's like Taylor the phenom. You know what I mean? She does much more than that. She's not very political anymore, but she's just great. She's a great music superstar, and she's so kind to her fans. I don't know if you recall that she was in Brazil recently, where the heat there was just astronomical, and a young Taylor Swift fan died, unfortunately, at the concert because of the heat. And she went to the family and talked to them and was concerned about it and talked about it on her tour and brought the family, I think, on stage to her next concert date she had and really showed, you know, a sign of caring and concern for that and offered to buy water bottles for everybody attending the next concert. So she's just a good girl all the way around and people just love her. They love her music. They love what she stands for. They love the fact that she's always out there doing something original without offending anybody.
Okay, I think I'll have to update my playlist then. KJ Matthews, thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
You're watching DW News. Here's a reminder of our top story. Israel says its troops have surrounded and reached the center of southern Gaza's largest city. Commanders in the Khan Yunis assault say their troops are engaged in some of the most intense fighting so far. Well, that's it for now. Up next is our documentary, Deep Sea Greed, Exploiting the Ocean Floor. I'm Tomi Oladipo in Berlin. Thanks for watching.